This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. It's breezy with rain, some thunderstorms at times today, a high temperature in the 40s. It's 45 degrees right now at O'Hare on the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, both the NASDAQ and S&P are trading above their record highs. The Dow is a bigger stretch to do that, and right now it's up only 34 points. The NASDAQ is up 20, the S&P gaining 7, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up 0.5%. That thanks to Archer Daniel Midland's earnings report. Its profits beat targets thanks to the tariff truce with China. Hopes for progress with China in the latest round of trade talks that take place this week at very high levels are helping push the stock markets a little higher. Investors are also waiting for the big earnings report from Google's parent Alphabet. That'll come after the closing bell today. This is a really heavy earnings week for investors. Companies from Apple to General Motors report tomorrow. So right now, investors are being a little bit cautious moving higher until they have a little more fuel to make any bigger moves. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thank you. And among the topics that we're going to be looking at this afternoon, Generation Z and its financial independence.
Also, Stock Picker Monday, an investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Burger King's test of a vegetarian version of its signature Whopper sandwich has been a huge success. We're going to find out about that a little more in our next segment. But right now, a new study from Junior Achievement and Citizens Bank finds that most of today's teenagers don't believe that they'll be financially independent by the age of 30. We are joined by Ed Jurtzen, who's certified financial planner at Mack Investment Securities in Chicago. Ed, thanks for joining us today. Does this generation look like any other generation?
It's a great survey and a great question. And I think for some of those who have seen the survey, some will be shocked and others will find this completely normal given the changes in the generations over the years. If you look at the financial recession and the toll it took, a lot of these teens, you know, were much younger. So they didn't necessarily, they could have been 7 or 8, so they didn't necessarily have, you know, the definite impact. But I think from a practical standpoint today, I think more and more parents are becoming sandwiched in between taking care of not only their parents, but also their kids. And I think this is creating this issue. I know you're going to be talking about retirement later on in the program. This is creating a real issue. But to have these teens say, hey, you know what, I know I'm going to be financially dependent on my parents through age 30, I'd love to hear what the parents said of the survey of their teens.
Now, what is it? What's causing this real or perceived lack of independence?
Cisco, I think a lot of this has to do with just kind of the generation today. Is parents are basically trying to support their kids in one way or another, and it may have gone, that pendulum may have swung a little bit too far. You know, if we go back a couple of generations, you know, parents basically said, okay, you're 18, you're out of the house, where today you've got kind of two sets of issues where some parents are trying to help their kids get good financial footing, but the other side is they may be subsidizing their lifestyle. And I think parents really need to ask that question. Am I helping them or hindering them in terms of progressing through their life, if you would, from a financial standpoint?
Are some of these younger people, I mean, is it college debt? Is it jobs not paying well? Is it just not necessarily even wanting to leave home? Maybe the home you want is too expensive and you can't afford it. I'm sure there's a variety of things going into this.
Well, and I think that's, anytime you kind of read a survey, it's always good to go deeper, right, in terms of what people are looking for. And don't forget, these are teens. So these are kids who haven't been through college yet. The good news is in the survey that over half of them want to be financially independent from their parents. So that's great. And the majority of them want to go to college. But then, to your point, there's the reality of that. There's student debt that kind of comes out on the backside, and how you're going to go about paying off that student debt before engaging, if you would, in life from a more fundamental standpoint.
And also the jobs that are out there are very different than the parents have been through.
The good news is, you know, depending on what happens with the economy and such over the next couple of years, these kids hopefully will have a very robust job market to kind of fall into, and that kind of helps as well. But kind of getting back to the core of this in terms of, you know, steps going forward, you know, parents need to look at this very clearly. If their kids graduate and they have student loan debt and they're staying at home, are you literally subsidizing their lifestyle or using this as an opportunity to strongly build that financial foundation by paying off the debt, again, through subsidizing their housing and other things?
Very good insight. Thank you, Ed Jurtzen. Always good to have you on the show. Ed is a certified financial planner at Mack Investment Securities, also past national president of the Financial Planning Association.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Burger King has conducted a successful test of a vegetarian version of its signature sandwich, the Whopper, using a plant-based patty from the company Impossible Foods. Let's get the latest from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, it sounds like Burger King's tests of this patty have gone well, and so they're going to expand it.
You're right, Cisco. And keep in mind, we're not just talking Burger King. A few months ago, you know, White Castle started their own test with Impossible Burger, but obviously in a much smaller size. And it did phenomenally well. There's no question that plant-based everything is hot. We saw it at the Fancy Food Show in San Francisco in January. We just saw it at the Expo, Expo West here in Anaheim, California, a couple weeks ago. Plant-based food is in, it's hot, and we're going to see many, many more people like Burger King going to this.
So these are supposed to look like real burgers. They're supposed to sort of have the same texture. What's Burger King going for here? Is it keeping existing customers who are thinking healthier? Are there customers out there that aren't coming because they don't want the red meat? What's the angle?
I think it's a combination of all those things as well. Keep in mind that there's a lot of people who have decided to go vegan, not necessarily for health reasons, but for sustainability of the planet because of the impact that meat has on the ozone, on methane gas, and the like. So it's really appealing to millennials and Generation Z who, frankly, are not, you know, McDonald's or Burger King users. They're going to get a lot of new customers who come in. They're going to be able to switch some customers who want to be vegan to this. And keep in mind, being vegan doesn't mean every meal has to be vegan. You might just want to have an Impossible, you know, Whopper once a week instead of three times a week.
Have you tasted it yet, Phil, or anyone that you know tasted it?
Yeah, I've tasted both Impossible Burger as well as Beyond Meat, both products. They look just like beef. One major difference is actually Impossible Burgers has a look of bleeding, the same way you would with a regular beef burger. Beyond Meat does not have that. They're good. Do they taste identical? No, but they shouldn't taste identical. And frankly, when you put an Impossible patty in a Whopper between all the sauce and everything else, you're not even going to be able to tell the difference.
And so this is the sort of thing that, obviously, as we mentioned, the tests have gone all right. So Burger King is thinking this is something they'll be using in all of their restaurants at some point. There's just that big of a market for it.
There is. And also, when we look at fast food sales in general, they have declined. People are not going to McDonald's and Burger King and the rest the way they used to. So this really is the jolt that they need, that frankly they don't need new equipment to cook on. You are going to have a lot of people questioning whether or not this is on the same grill, cooked on the same grill as the beef burgers are. And for the true vegans, they're not going to want that. So that's going to be one of the situations that Burger King and others have to address.
Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com. Thanks for being with us. Still ahead, an update on the markets from Bloomberg. Later, deciding when it's time to retire and how to make it happen.
WBBM News Time 1225, sponsored by Baird. Here is Joan Doniger.
Chris, Wall Street is playing something of a waiting game today, but the averages are moving higher while investors wait for the earnings report after the closing bell from Google parent Alphabet. Right now, the Dow is up 24 points, the NASDAQ 19, the S&P 7. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up 0.33%. That on the earnings report from Archer Daniels Midland. The reason? The trade truce with China helped boost that company's profits. Now, hopes for concrete progress on a trade deal with China at this week's high-level talks. Maybe a date for a deal will emerge, at least what that's what investors are hoping. And that's helping keep stocks on the upside of the flat line. Not just higher, too. The NASDAQ and S&P are trading above their records. Disney, another stock that's seeing records, although it did stumble below the flat line slightly on its way to what could be a fifth straight record close if it turns around. Avengers Endgame's weekend debut in theaters, the $350 million it took in over the weekend, shattered a record for the largest box office weekend ever. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal. Pete?
At the Chicago Board of Trade, we're mixed. We have July corn up 1.25 at 362.5. December's up 1.25, 382. Bean 2.25 across the board, with November's at 885, and wheat for July down 4.75, 437.75. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal.
Thanks, Pete. The Dow up 23 points with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are slightly higher. We'll see what's affecting Wall Street.
It is a stock picker Monday. We'll have a pair of investment ideas from a money pro.
Deciding the right time to retire can sometimes be a tricky proposition. We'll get advice from an expert.
Two of the 36 people sickened by a chemical leak in the northern suburbs last week remain in serious but stable condition.
The FBI says it got a tip 5 minutes before a deadly synagogue attack in California. Too late to identify and track a suspect.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are up 24, the S&P 500 up 7, and the NASDAQ up about 21 points.
45 degrees in Chicagoland, heading to a high of 54. Most of the rain is out of the area. We'll have cloudy skies throughout the rest of the afternoon. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are a touch higher today. We are joined by Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Vahan. What do you see in the markets today that interests you?
Well, you know, the markets are relatively calm today. They're not really moving around too much. I think we're waiting for some big economic numbers that'll come toward the end of the week. We'll get the ISM numbers on Wednesday and Friday. And, of course, this is the week that we get the employment figures. They come out on Friday, and that's always a big market mover. So I wouldn't really expect to see much movement in the market until then. And, of course, you know, one more thing that's going on is this is a very big week for earnings. So if we do get some big surprise by a relatively large blue-chip company, that could also move the markets.
There may be some discussion this week about inflation, and that could bring conversation once again between the White House and those the Fed as well.
Well, you know, there isn't much sign of inflation, so I think President Trump may get his wish, and the Fed may not be very keen to raise rates right now. But of course, they're not really reacting to what the president is telling them. They're reacting to the numbers. Right now, the economy looks very good. There's very little sign of inflation. There's very little sign that the economy is heating up. So I don't think the Fed is going to be raising rates anytime soon. But of course, if this changes, you know, keep in mind we do have a tight labor market, and if that tight labor market results in a higher amount of wage inflation, that then feeds into price. I think they're on hold.
Vahan, let's talk about consumer spending, big increase. What does that say for investors about maybe what might be sustained in this economy? Maybe people are just going to keep spending that money.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a good sign. Of course, consumer spending is almost 70% of GDP, so that's a very when we see strength in consumer spending, that's always a big comfort for any investor. I think that will continue in the near term, especially, you know, as I said, the employment situation right now is very strong. People have jobs, and they continue to get jobs. The unemployment rate is very low. I do have a little bit of concern about the participation rate in the low unemployment rate, but it does appear that people are coming back into the job market and they're finding jobs, and that should sustain that consumer spending.
What are your thoughts on earnings season so far? Obviously, still lots to go, but what do you make of it so far?
Well, so far it's been very good, but I would caution everybody to say that a lot of times the expectations are kind of adjusted to make sure that the companies meet or beat them. So it's not unusual to see approximately 70% of companies beating their earnings expectations. Right now the numbers look very good. Companies are doing very well. We got a really encouraging report last week from Ford Motor Company, which was a little bit unexpected. They did much better than expected, and I think this bodes very well for the entire automobile sector.
We have been talking on this program today about the various generations and the job, getting jobs, and what's different from 50 years ago or such. Are you looking around and saying, "Wow, there's a new generation here"?
Well, yeah, I have three kids myself. Two of them are recent college grads, and fortunately, they were able to find pretty good jobs, but. Things are a bit different. When I was young, when you got a job with a major corporation, there was a good chance you're going to spend a very long period of time there, if not your entire career. These days, young people typically change jobs pretty frequently, maybe about every 5 years or even less. So the benefits are somewhat different. We used to have defined benefit plans. Now people are lucky if they have a 401k plan, and they're even luckier if the employer makes contributions to that plan.
Vahan, always good to have you on the show. Thank you. Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Up next, how timing can be the key to retirement.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Deciding when to retire can have major implications in both your lifestyle and finances. Let's talk about navigating a potentially intricate situation. Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management, joins us. Fairhaven, based in Oak Brook. Mark, that big question, when should I retire? It's a difficult one for people who are near the traditional retirement age, but also for people in their 40s and 50s.
It absolutely is, Cisco, and it's an increasingly interesting conversation for us with clients, and we've actually coined the phrase around our offices, phase two for clients. After they've gone through a more conventional work career, people start thinking about, well, if money or the paycheck was not the primary motivator, what would I be doing with my time? And it's led to just some very interesting conversations with people that common. Popular ideas to give back in teaching, or maybe to go to work in a small startup business and use some of that industry experience somebody's developed. But then we also just had a client start a small batch Italian after dinner liqueur business, leaving the executive recruiting ranks. And so it's just an opportunity to think very creatively about what one might do with their lives in their 40s and 50s, and it's not that traditional gold watch and spend retirement golfing every day.
Hey, some of that, and maybe you obviously talk to more people about this, it seems like at times they're just working and continuing to work because they feel like they have to pay the bills, because they feel like they can't retire, not necessarily because they still even enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, so that touches on a really important concept in this whole phase two idea of if you want to try and build in some flexibility to leave that job, you absolutely need to have a concrete financial plan in place to be able to replace income that you might be walking away from. And an important discipline is, as that career is moving along, to be really conscious that your spending doesn't rise in lockstep with your income with your income increasing, because that is not going to allow you typically to have the slack to have the option to maybe walk away from a conventional career to go pursue some different ideas.
What are some of the jobs that you have heard over the years of people who are thinking about moving on, but they're not sure where they're going yet?
So, Chris, I'd say the common denominator is people thinking small. So of the five or six clients that are coming to mind, what's common about their careers that they walked away from, where they were in big companies, and so maybe public accounting or investment banking or again executive recruiting, and the opportunities that they have really become passionate about are largely in smaller companies. And so whether that is teaching or helping small companies or starting their own executive coaching or outsourced human resources company, the common denominator is moving from large organizations to smaller organizations, where I think in general people are feeling like they just got an ability to have a greater impact in that smaller company. So I think taking a decrease in pay is also a common denominator going from that larger company, which gets back to the importance of having a very clear financial plan in place, so you can really outline, all right, where is that income maybe gap going to be funded from my other resources that I've accumulated? Because if pursuing your passion means that you're going to go home and ask your spouse to downsize substantially and eat mac and cheese at every meal, that's probably not going to work out too well.
Talk to the 30-year-old who's maybe in his or her first job. The idea of retirement, it just seems so far off, and they're still dealing with student loan debt. They feel like they can't even begin to think about this. Give them a little bit of advice on what to do.
I think number one, maybe in this sort of concept, maybe to, instead of think about retirement, maybe to think creatively about, again, if the paycheck, which is an economic reality, we all have bills to pay, but if the paycheck down the road was less of a factor, what would I like to be spending my days doing? What passion might I like to pursue? And then the whole notion of compound interest, the importance of getting started early in saving and keeping an eye on expenses, but getting started early in saving, that money is going to grow and provide the slack to give you the freedom and flexibility to maybe make a different decision with how you spend your day. So this can absolutely be done.
Always good insight. Thank you, Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management. Company website, fairhavenwealth.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Helping us out this afternoon, Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Tim. What do you like today?
Hi, Chris. Let's start with Cintas. Cintas is the uniform rental company. They have certainly expanded the definition of uniform. The clothes often don't look like uniforms if you're at a hotel, but Cintas is making sure that people use them and look great and clean, which is certainly important. And they've branched out into other areas, too. So other things that they can deliver to companies, such as fire extinguishers and safety equipment and restroom equipment. So this is a company that is expanding and growing.
And that is a reflection of what else is growing so that this company can cash in on it.
Well, I think it's increased use of uniforms in various businesses. For instance, the hospitals, historically hospitals did their own laundry. But Cintas is moving into that segment increasingly, which is helping hospitals outsource that cost structure as well, but also providing, again, very clean and sanitary uniforms to the hospital business. That's one area that they're expanding in.
So Cintas, C-T-A-S, that's the first one. What's your second pick?
Hi, Cisco. I'm going to go with Adobe today. I think a lot of people are very familiar with the Adobe Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator. They really own the creation of digital graphics. The digital industry, in terms of the software, is dominated by Adobe. They are also in the optimization and measurement of digital advertising business, and that, of course, is a huge growth area for them. They're helping companies with their advertising, making sure that it's well targeted, well and effective in terms of making a sale. And the growth, of course, of digital advertising is huge here. So this is a company in two great spaces.
Adobe seems to have done a really good job. Other tech companies, software companies have too. But a good job of getting people over to their cloud-based software. So instead of that one-time purchase over a period of years, they're getting that nice ding each and every month for the subscription.
Yes, that has been huge for Adobe over the last several years. They went to a subscription-based model instead of a purchase model. So every year you get dinged with a cost, and that's regular income for them, especially given how dominant they are in these two businesses.
Good, good having you with us, Tim. Always good advice. His two picks today, Cintas, C-T-A-S, and Adobe, A-D-B-E. Tim Griske, our Monday stock picker this week, chief investment strategist at Inverness Council. We'll get a check of the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up today's noon business hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
It's something of a holding day on Wall Street, Cisco. Investors are waiting for Google's parent company, Alphabet's, after the Bell earnings report. Until then, trade optimism and indications that consumer spending bounced back last month are helping push the averages higher, in the case of the NASDAQ and S&P, to possible new records. The Dow is up too, though, up 40 points, the NASDAQ 18, the S&P 7. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.25%. Archer Daniels Midland's earnings report sparking the company's shares higher by 5%. That leads the local average. Boeing CEO says the company did everything right, followed the proper procedures for designing and certifying the system on its 737 MAX that has been linked to two deadly crashes. He emphasized the effort the plane maker is undertaking to redesign the software. He wouldn't say at either the company's annual meeting or when asked by reporters that the jet's original design was flawed. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.